I have a little scripture prologue this morning just to give you a bit of background. Moses had reached the end of his days, and he's speaking to the assembled people who are about to cross over the Jordan into the promised land. And of course, they're going to be crossing over without Moses. You're about to hear what is essentially his valedictory speech to the people whom he has led out of slavery in Egypt and through 40 years in the wilderness.
Today's scripture reading is from Deuteronomy 30, verses 15 through 20. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I am commanding you today, by loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways, and observing his commandments, decrees, and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you do not hear, but are led astray to bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live. Loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and holding fast to him, for that means life to you and length of days, so that you may live in the land that the Lord swore to give to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us.
Thanks be to God.
We Americans are people who love choices. We're confronted by hundreds of them every day. Unleaded or premium, soy, almond, whole milk, low-fat milk, slim fit or traditional, you know which one I wear, Mac or Windows. It's almost as if having options is central to what it means to us to be an American. And so when we read this passage from Deuteronomy, it's normal for us to think of individuals making a choice. Though choosing life or death is a choice far deeper than opting for Android or iOS. And while the nation of Israel was composed of individuals, it's important for us not only to hear this text through the ears of individualistic 21st century Americans, but through the collective notion of a people who had been on the move together through 40 years in the wilderness. They were utterly reliant upon one another and utterly reliant upon God for survival. And when Moses addresses you in the passage that you just heard, it's the second person plural, you all, or y'all, if depending on if you're from certain parts of the country like Karen is. So I have set before you all today life and prosperity or death and adversity. You know, we Americans do make collective decisions, but we tend to make them on the basis of individual self-interest. But Moses is telling a nation what they must choose together, and to choose whether they're going to pursue life-giving covenant faithfulness with God or whether they're going to be choosing death-dealing worship of false gods. Today, our nation grapples with life and death choices. And much of it is on the basis, decided on the basis of what's good for me as an individual, rather than on the basis of what is good for all of God's people. A few chapters earlier in Deuteronomy, we hear, "You shall not deprive a resident alien or an orphan of justice. You shall not take a widow's garment in pledge. Remember that you were a slave in Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you from there, and therefore I command you to do this. When you reap your harvest, in your field and you forget a sheaf of wheat, you shall not go back and get it. It shall be for the alien, for the orphan, and for the widow. Think about that for a moment. Have you seen anything similar in the headlines in the last few weeks? In John's gospel, Jesus says, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." That means us, plural, not me, singular. A central heresy in the prosperity gospel and in much of American Christianity is the mistaken belief that Jesus' message is primarily about me, not us. It's about my individual salvation and my entry ticket into heaven. And it's not about the salvation of all of God's people. Global warming is not just about me, folks. It's about all of God's people, which is why so many Americans have a hard time making it a policy priority. Moses stood up to empire in Egypt. Jesus stood up to the Roman Empire. They both chose life, not for themselves, but for their people. They expended their own lives so that others could live. Saying yes to life sometimes means saying no to Pharaoh or to Caesar, or even saying no to the empires of our own age. Choosing life means setting a course that is life-giving for all God's people, especially those who are at society's margins, those who are the most vulnerable. Our nation, though, seems bent on worshiping the false gods of unbridled wealth, economic self-interest, white privilege, male domination, racism, heterosexism, warped nationalism, and an outdated notion of what it means to be Christian. Choosing life means loving God before loving self. It means denying self-interest at times for the good of the whole. It means walking in covenant with God rather than walking in lockstep with a party platform. Our Puritan forebears understood this way back in 1629 when they wrote the Salem Church Covenant. "We covenant with the Lord and with one another, and we bind ourselves in the presence of God to walk together in all his ways, according as he is pleased to reveal himself unto us in his blessed word of truth." It's all about plural pronouns and the common good. They understood something in 1629 that apparently most Americans have forgotten. Choosing life means caring for the people who are the least of these who are members of God's family. Choosing life means welcoming the alien and the refugee. Choosing life means being a peacemaker. Choosing life means working for a just society. Choosing life means standing up for God's creation. And I'm looking at Karen because of her work with climate change. Choosing life means co-creating the kingdom of God here and now and still unfolding. We are a people who love choices. And we, like the people of Israel before they crossed the Jordan, have come to a fork in the road. Here at Plymouth, we can choose to focus our common life inward on ourselves, ensuring that we are comfortable. Or we can focus outward on others, on society's most vulnerable, on the burgeoning university population who need the gift of Plymouth. Which of those two paths is the way toward life? And in our national life, we have the opportunity to stand up for the forces that are life-sustaining and give our energies to those that say yes to life. or we can choose to follow the way toward death. If we act exclusively in our own self-interest, it's not going to end well for us. It's not going to end well for our children. It's not going to end well for our grandchildren. And it is not going to end well for the planet that God loves. We need to develop a broader mindset that encourages action for the common good. And we have to become very intentional about where we devote our energies. I don't know about you, but my email inbox is filled with requests for time, for money, for letters, for emails, for phone calls. We have to become intentional about where we devote our energies because we're in it for the long haul. Not this week, not this month, not this year. Think about it this way. The world's most valuable corporation, Google, they trade back and forth with Apple, has only been in business for 19 years. And with the volatility in their industry, chances are pretty good that they're not going to be around, at least in the same configuration, 100 years from now. Plymouth, on the other hand, has been making a difference here in Fort Collins for 114 years. And the church, which has been the greatest force for social change in the world, has been around for 2,000. I think 100 years from now, Plymouth will be here. Plymouth will be vital. Plymouth will be making a difference in God's world. We have vitality and we have staying power at Plymouth. So let's use it. Let's use our intentionality. Let's use our energy. Let's use our faith to walk together, to say yes to God, and to choose life. Dostoevsky said, "The darker the night, the brighter the stars." So isn't it time for us to choose life and to shine brightly? I close this morning with a poem by the son of a congregational minister. No, not Cameron or Chris. This is by E.E. Cummings, whose words describe choosing life. "I thank you, God, for most this amazing day, for leaping greenly spirits of trees and a blue, true dream of sky, and for everything which is natural, which is infinite, which is yes. I, who have died, am alive again today, and this is the sun's birthday. This is the birthday of life, and of love, and of wings, and of the gay, great, happening, illimitably earth. How should tasting, touching, hearing, seeing, breathing any, lifted from the know of nothing at all, human merely being, doubt unimaginable you? Now the ears of my ears are opened, and the eyes of my eyes are awake." Amen.